This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level. We are right now getting ready for this most awesome show. I got Lucander Fiend coming on up. We've got Cal Molinay coming on up if he can get through the Skype machines. So anyway, we've been on this show for, I'm pushing about three months now. I come on here with these guys, and we cover the variety of interesting aspects. I gotta say, working with Lucander Fiend, besides his intimate knowledge of history and other, I don't know, interesting aspects of philosophy, economics, he usually sends me at least one piece of, what did I write down here? He basically sends me these adverts for the nanny state, okay? I'm hoping that he's hearing me. I'm hoping he comes on very soon. So, adverts for the nanny state, here it goes, basically. The first story he sent me was some undercover cops in Detroit, apparently all essentially going in on a bust. Some of them had a warrant, some of them did not. The ones who did not were just there to get in on some of this action, and apparently they ended up basically kicking each other's butts. It was kind of one of those events. And this is the kind of thing that Lou will send me. It's a little aspect of what's going on in the world of actual police violence that affects people out there. Now, if you'd be someone out there who is affected by police violence, I totally, what can I say? I feel for you. I'm really glad that of all the likely tragedies that I've dealt with so far, that's not one that I've dealt with. But here's the other story. Essentially, Lou sent to me some type of an advert for a local crime syndicate. So essentially, those are cops and the local government and prosecutors who were harassing some couple because they have a Trump sticker, an anti-Trump sticker that had some disagreeable, discouraging words on it. That's another example of exactly what we got going on with that type of thing. So, you know, you've been probably listening to, I don't know, hopefully you listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest, by the way. That's the condensed version of these big, long shows. But some of you guys out there are in LRN, and you listen to the, you've been listening to, since Freedom Fiends started, when it was just Michael and Nima, and they were covering the subjects of tyranny today. So essentially, from Lou, who's usually on for your, what is it called, Wednesday evening and Thursday morning shows on the Freedom Fiends, he actually sent me some things that would be called, tyranny today. That would be like a news adverts of what type of tyranny is occurring. Yeah, so that was the thing. He's like, okay, so we're going to cover these subjects of what's going on with tyranny. So luckily, it seems like Lou says on the Fiend phone over here is that he's going to be getting back on. So I'm by the way, I'm fully prepared to take the entire
Fiend
show without
phone. Fiend
without
phone.
You, Lou. But here you are. Is that you, Lou?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just now arriving.
Wow. You know, that almost sounds like the real Lou, but let's try again and see if Lou's handler has the real Lou. Are you there, Lou?
I'm here, maybe.
Okay. It's great to have you. I was just basically saying that the articles that you send me... Yeah, you are had here. Basically, I noticed that you sent me these two adverts for the nanny state, so that's how I was describing them. You know, the one with cops busting on each other and the one with... Essentially, the local crime syndicate busting on the people for having the wrong words on their stickers.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Do we have Kel with us tonight?
Oh, I wish. I'll tell you what, you would have to do a whole bunch of talking for me to continue helping Kel get on here.
He's having technical problems too?
Yeah, I am sending an actual message right now on Skype.
Oh, gosh.
Studio number one. Okay. I sent him the Skype handle. I'm hoping that he knows what to do. I think he knows how to reach me. I think you're friends with him on Facebook. Is that true?
Yeah, as of today, because it's a new account, because I got permazucked.
As of today. Oh, yeah. Right. You were permazucked.
Yeah.
What did you do to deserve the... Not deserve... that there's no such thing as deserve. But what did you do to attract the attention of being permasucked?
I melted a couple snowflakes, and it turns out that right-wing snowflakes melt at the same temperature as left-wing snowflakes.
And oh, that is so accurate.
And because they were triggered so hard, and because they needed their safe space, rather than just accepting my words, they kind of freaked out and reported my profile and all this other nonsense because, well, I can't even be certain exactly what it was that I did to offend the snowflakes, but they were offended.
They were offended.
Yes.
Well,
their little feelings were hurt.
Well, I'm glad that you cleverly survived and, I guess, for the most part, acquired or really didn't miss much of the friends or anyone important. Or you still collecting people?
Yeah, it was a good way to pair about 4,000 people off of my friends list and get out of all those groups that I didn't want to be in. And what they want me to do is they want me to send in a photo ID to verify that I am who I say I am. And I just really don't want to show my papers. I really don't see any reason to do that. So,
yeah.
I've been very accepting of my permazucking. And aside from losing a few people that I enjoyed my connection with, it's not really that big a deal. Now there was a lot of pictures that I was tagged in that I can't access the account. I'm completely locked out. And there's a number of pictures I was tagged in that I would like to be able to get. But I think I'm able to accept that they are gone.
I have a feeling I know what some of them are. They would... Oh, we got Cal? Cal, can we hear you?
Yeah, I'm here now.
We're right now, the drone warfare is getting intense over Cal. He's here.
Wow.
Hey, Cal.
How you doing, Lou? How you doing, Daryl?
Hey.
Good to hear from you.
Hey, man.
So what's the deal that you're using Skype? Are you one of those beautiful people with a Mac?
I've been given a special exceptions of allowing to use Mac tools here.
Wow.
Whoa. How long do you get this permission to use a Mac, by the way, since it, you know... This is one of those, like, wow, what did you have to do? What were the secret things that you did to get this permission?
Well,
and who do you have pictures of?
Right? I have a lot of dirt on everyone. Keck blesses me, and, you know, through his prayers, I am allowed to have a Mac for now.
Well, that'll do. I mean, one good thing about having the you Skype over here, by the way, is notice that during the breaks, you'll notice this whole show along, Lou. We won't have to hear much in the way of commercials because that will be impossible to, you know, if we're going to talk to Cal during the break. So,
by the way,
work for the board op, and seriously, big props to the board ops at GCN. Just saying.
Yay.
Yay. So that was muted applause from Lusander for all the board ops.
Wow. This is almost like the show's being held together with duct tape and baling wire and coat hangers and stuff like that. Okay.
What do you guys think about the Navy and the giant genitals in the sky?
Oh, that was so sweet.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fertility exercise.
Yeah, right? That was one of the least destructive things that they've done.
Except for the weather modification that you know, symbol created. You know.
Right.
Well, I'm sure it created...
Wait, we're burying the lead. What exactly happened, Lou, and, you know, in your radio discretion?
Well, one thing that I can say for certain with the weather modification, it did create another bunch of snowflakes because there were a lot of people that got offended by it. So, my understanding, I didn't follow the story very closely, but I did follow the memes that came from it. And it would appear that some Navy pilots were flying, and they made contrails in the shape of a male reproductive organ.
Yep.
So I felt
sexually assaulted.
So the Skywriters were making a big giant penis in the sky.
Yes. And that happened.
I think that's occurred over the tax form of Washington. So I guess everybody
State of Mordor on the Potomac.
Yeah, I think it was Washington State. So everyone there now can, in that era and that community, can do the hashtag Me Too. It's warranted.
Yeah, because, you know, it into your eyes without your consent.
Right.
Yeah. That's almost like taking someone's mind fruit, you know, of their intellectual property.
Yeah. Without government, who would draw giant genitals in the sky? Well, I guess at your expense.
Well, I'm sure that if there's a market demand for it, somebody would do it.
Right.
And surprisingly enough, I can see somebody that's eccentric and silly enough to do that.
Well, I can't. I can't name a single. Well, yeah, actually, I can.
Kind of like
you need better friends.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys getting isolated.
I was gonna say, kind of like one of those guys that has their own plane and has a banner flying overhead saying, get a plane, you peasants.
This happens sometimes. So there's, I was just saying before you guys both got on, when I get ready for a show with Lou, he sends me nice adverts for the nanny state. I'm hoping that. You know, we could just decide to talk about these events. What made you choose these specific police state tyranny today articles, Lou?
Well, many reasons. And the two things, one comes from the failed state project of Detroit, where the cops arrest each other in a botched drug raid.
We're going to have to talk about it at the end of the, at the beginning of the next section.
Yeah. And the other is the Internet Strikes Back. We'll be back to strike against the internet.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store. Or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Yes.
Lou, are you there?
Yeah, I am here.
You there, Cal?
Red leader reporting.
I don't know.
Oh gosh.
That
so
works.
What are we going to go into here? We had a couple options and we didn't figure it out because we were yammering about other stuff during our break. So what do we want to cover?
Well, I think in reading the polls from the audience, they wanted us to touch on the various policemen hurting each other. Over in the failed state of Detroit, because you're kind of like, what was it called? Teasing the audience with that one last time.
Yeah. Well, also we have the bumper sticker tailgate. We have the pickup truck tailgate incident also, tailgate scandal. But anyway, all right. So let's talk about the cop on cop violence. This is a wonderful byproduct of the war on drugs. And when I say the war on drugs, I mean no cartel or police agency left behind. I almost don't know how to introduce this other than just dropping a bunch of words on you. And it's The title of this article, which is from Fox 2, the local Fox affiliate, Detroit police officers fight each other in undercover op gone wrong. Newsweek says Detroit cops fight each other in very embarrassing undercover mix-up. I've seen stuff like this bunch of idiots is trying to kill each other. That's not the more mainstream articles. But anyway, from Newsweek, crime fighting took on a new meaning for Detroit police officers. In a covert drugs bust gone wrong, two officers posing as drug dealers were caught by their undercover colleagues last Thursday in an incident that resulted in guns being pulled, punches thrown, and an internal investigation launched, sources told Fox 2. Operations from the 12th Precinct, who were pretending to sell drugs in an attempt to arrest drug users, were approached by two officers from the 11th Precinct who treated them as they would any other drug dealers and attempted to arrest them. The city's police chief called the move a very embarrassing situation. This has been called, at least in the surrounding area, Operation Push Off, and it's been around for probably at least 20 years that I can think of. And in this, police officers are out committing the crime of selling illegal narcotics to the general public. So it's kind of like when the FBI took over kiddie porn websites and the traffic increased. the police gang is out selling drugs. Essentially, they're doing what's illegal for everybody else to do.
Well, I think what you're seeing here is prohibition making something illegal, and that makes a new way to make money if you happen to be powerful, meaning you have a certain costume and badge, for example. That's power. I mean, it protects you to the point of encountering other people with badges and uniforms, apparently. And then, you know, the protection didn't work so well. What do you think, Cal?
Have you guys seen Training Day?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. It was it's because there's one of the groups didn't have a warrant, and so they had no business being there to begin with, and so there's a couple people thinking that they were trying to beat the other group that did have a warrant, so they can raid the house and take the money or the drugs, but you know they got the timing wrong, and you had Morty's killing Morty's scene take place.
Just Morty's killing Morty's. That's a Rick and Morty reference. But I don't know. Do you actually watch enough Rick and Morty to get that one, Lou? Or what do you think?
No, I've never seen Rick and Morty.
Oh.
Missing out.
Okay.
Michael Fien loves it now.
Yeah.
Favorite show on the planet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start Breaking Bad this winter.
Oh.
Because I haven't seen that yet either.
I think Rick and Morty will be a lot easier on your hairline. And your head, yeah, it won't, make you pull things out. I think Breaking Bad is definitely intense, but that's my opinion on that one.
Well, that's fine. I could deal with intense. Now, the interesting thing, going back to this Operation Push-Off, when police are out selling drugs, and I don't know if they're just standing there waiting for somebody to come by and say, yo, hook a brother up, or if they're out there actually saying, yo, you straight, you need a hookup. But this whole Operation Push-Off, this really smacks of entrapment. So apparently they have decided that they're going to go out and sell drugs to catch drug users. And for some reason, that just sounds kind of hokey to me. But we'll be back.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fiction.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent, post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kinda deep, but always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback, and for the first time, on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. And of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Freedom Fiends welcomes you, Lucender.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yes, and reluctantly, Freedom Fiends welcomes you on Skype, Cal.
Meow.
Meow. There we go. I was just kidding. I'm not reluctant to welcome you. I'm really psyched you're on the show, Cal.
Yeah, me too. It's you guys have been doing this for quite some time, so it was inevitable I'd try it out myself.
Yeah. And Cal, how did you find liberty and take it into your heart? That's what I'm trying to understand.
How have you accepted individual liberty as your Lord and Savior?
Through the power of Keck and memes.
And speaking of memes, the Detroit police are just an absolute Schumer show of a meme.
And I Schumer show.
Out. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like Amy Schumer?
No. because we're not permitted to use profanity on FCC-controlled radio, rather than saying this is bull stuff, we say this is bull Schumer. When we're really angry, we say this is Feinsteining bull Schumer. Go Feinstein yourself, stuff like that. So all sorts of neat little words.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, blow out your Lindsey Graham, just all sorts of things. So if I were going to come up with a meme, I'm not sure which one that I would use for the Detroit Police Department. So as we started talking in the last segment, members of the 12th Precinct wound up getting in a fight with members of the 11th Precinct because they tried to arrest each other. During the interaction between the four cops, who had no idea their actions would spark a full-blown confrontation, other members of the 11th Precinct were carrying out a drugs raid on a property in Andover, resulting in officers from the precincts ending up fighting each other. And there's body cam footage of this. It's not great footage. It's shakier than the Blair Witch Project, and it doesn't give a clear view of anything, but you can hear the yelling and the swearing, and it actually sounds like two rival gangs fighting each other, like the Bloods and the Crips, except with this here, you got the 11s and 12s fighting over turf. So it's not clear how the incident occurred, nor how the cops came to blows, but the clash following the mistaken drugs bust resulted in one officer needing to be taken to the hospital for treatment. This is probably one of the most embarrassing things I've seen in this department, Detroit Police Chief James Craig said at a Monday press conference reported by the Detroit Free Press. Craig added one officer was put in a headlock during the clash, while another was punched in a clash that could result in assault and battery charges. Incidentally, the internal investigation, what they're trying to figure out right now is which precinct is going to be charged with police brutality and which one is going to be charged with resisting arrest.
Wow.
Yeah. The supervisor on duty has been reassigned and an investigation is being carried out. It appears that the supervisor did not have control of the situation. You think? Craig added. And a tendency to get the officers from the 12th precinct excited to the point we have this very embarrassing situation. So, and it's really comical because one, this highlights this particular thing happening is not commonplace there in the failed state project, but the monumental goofballery and Feinsteinery is pretty common amongst the police of the failed state project and the failed state project in general.
I was just thinking if you had a whole bunch of security guards that basically had a monopoly on security in a certain area and they just became essentially crime lords, that they were funded by crime as these ones are, then their quality would go down to the level where they would actually I don't know, fight and injure each other, like what you just basically described.
You would hope that that wouldn't happen, but quite frankly, I think if it was private security and protection versus government cops, one, I don't think you'd have the war on drugs. You wouldn't have the prohibition against drugs. And I don't think that you would have all the problems that are created through the because of the war on drugs, a.k.a. no cartel or police agency left behind, which are mistakenly attributed to the existence of the drugs themselves.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Of course, I want to just emphasize, maybe I didn't clearly mention, a monopoly funded by a crime syndicate in that area is what I was describing. So
yeah,
I was basically describing the actual cops, the actual prosecution and court system, the actual local government, all of which are monopolies. They don't have competition. So over time, this is the type of low quality, high expense situation you kind of get to see. Wait, I'm going to get a head check from Cal about this. Am I off base on this?
No, you're correct. And of course, it's Detroit, right? Another failed liberal experiment. And so, you know, it takes
failed
over.
Failed state project.
No, yeah. It takes over an hour for the police to respond to 911 calls, for example.
It takes days sometimes.
Days, yeah. So, yeah, they're really hurting. And, you know, sometimes I've heard cases where, like, some cops disguise themselves as civilians trying to pull people over and they get caught being cops, you know, trying to rob people. So, yeah, no, not a fun city at all.
Not a fun city? Wait, have you guys been to Detroit?
Yeah. I used to live in Detroit.
Okay, so you can truly speak to Detroit being fun or not, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a mess.
It's just a mess. Okay, that's fine.
That's why I call it the failed state project.
That makes sense. And you do apparently live in Bear Saskatchewan, which is, I think, somewhere north of Nunavut, like province in Canada, or is it?
Yeah, it's north of Canada.
It's north of Canada. Wow.
In Detroit, it's really interesting. If you take the hood tour and you go down Van Dyke Avenue, which is one of the main drags heading north and south over on the east side of the city, it's really interesting because Detroit starts at 8 Mile on one side of 8 Mile, which is the title of that Eminem movie. On the north side of 8 Mile, you have the city of Warren, which is kind of Detroit overflow, so to speak. And then if you head south, you'll go down to the Detroit River. I think Jefferson Avenue runs the distance the whole way on that. But just going down like past 7 Mile, 6 Mile, and taking that down through I-94, which is one of the major east-west expressways going through Detroit, you can't go a block without seeing a burned-out building on the main drag. And if you go into the neighborhoods, you're going to see that in most cases, probably half of the buildings are burned out. So you have the skeleton of a house, you have the chimney that's left over, and you just have the absolute wreckage. And I could see where people would have depression growing up in an environment like that and living in that type of environment, just looking at these buildings that you go into a neighborhood and it's not unusual to see half the houses burned out.
Like someone set them on fire and no one bothered to, I guess, use the insurance money to rebuild?
Basically, yeah. they weren't rebuilt. Most of them haven't been cleared.
Wow.
And with it being one of these older cities that was, I know a lot of it was built in the 1800s and early 1900s. Because of the high population there, Detroit was just under 2 million people at its peak in the 1950s, I think it was. That's an awful lot of people for a city that size. And many of the houses were put really close together, so you would have a little more than a walkway in between two houses. You don't have driveways and garages through there. The driveways are like in an alley in between the houses on one street and then on the next. Or the alley goes in the middle of the block, and that's where you have garages and stuff like that. But the houses are really close together and tiny little postage stamp yards.
See, I'm just not a city boy. I've never lived in a city, and I visit cities. They're amazing. And with city savvy people like Cal, I'm going to make up a story about you, Cal. I would imagine that, you know, it'd be fun to go to a city, but generally speaking, a self-eating city like Detroit does not sound easy to deal with. Is Mordor on the Potomac easy, Cal? What do you think?
I mean, I love D.C. It was a fun city. Yeah. You have, I know there are monuments to tyrants and things like that, but there is a lot to do. There's a lot of places to explore and adventure. And I say pretty much if you can survive D.C., you can survive anywhere. I mean, they have multiple departments of like security, FBI, CIA, DEA. We have military security there, bases. You have state police, park police, Capitol Police.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things I like to do out there, it's, you know, I figure, you know, Richmond's a cakewalk compared to that. But yeah, I was in Detroit earlier this summer, and it really is a curtain that they put in the middle downtown to make it look like it's trying to come back. But, you know, you walk like maybe 10 blocks in any direction past from downtown, it's you know, a ring of hell and urban decay all around there.
The main drag going through Detroit is Woodward Avenue. That's where you have a lot of the big restaurants and bars, and the Foxtown Cafe, and Ford Field at Comerica Park, where the Detroit Lions and Detroit Tigers play, is right down there off of Woodward. So it's the main drag. It's where all the big stuff is. Now, if you go a couple blocks to the east, you have what's called the Cass Corridor, which is sometimes referred to as Jurassic Park, because that's the place that you don't want to get caught when after dark. I mean, that's the place that's just absolutely unbelievable, all the stuff that goes on down there.
Unbelievable and not something we can say on radio.
Yeah. I don't know.
I did it. You could say it on radio, but you would be busy listing all the things that happened down there.
I did an Airbnb there, and had to, you know, go out and make sure my car was there every 2 hours.
We'll be back. So will Kel's car.
So will Kel's car. Someone go check on that. Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
So yeah, back with the new promo.
Yeah, I used this promo for the show tonight. I'm pretty sure I did. I'd have to go look at my face beast. But it's the guy who is called Redneck Wonder on the meme generator. And it's the guy, he's wearing the camouflage. He's got his shotgun, and he's in his living room. He's just got this absolutely dopey, clueless look on his face. And the caption on it is, when your anarchist friends are talking about the potential of cryptocurrency, and you're just waiting for an opportunity to throw in MAGA or COFEF. Or call somebody liberal, for that matter.
Yeah, those snowflakes.
Because they are kind of famous for that. It was funny. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day on Face Beast. And, of course, it was devolving into uncivilized because he's one of these authoritarian control freaks that wants to impose his will upon the rest of the world. He's one of these theocrats. He's convinced that the best thing to get the world right is to impose his religious beliefs on everybody else and dispose of those that are not willing to accept his version of things. So, in our words, he's a follower of the Prince of Peace and the God of Love and all that are nonsense. He just has to kill a lot of people to get there. But anyway, I was explaining my views of, you know, hey, you know, we don't need to kill people to have all these things going on and everything, you know, to have a successful civilized society. And of course, eventually it came out, well, you're just a liberal. I'm like, seriously, I'm less government than you are. I mean, I'm less government than most people are, but when he gets in this clueless state, and there's many conservatives that are like this, that once they get confused and they're like, oh my God, wait a minute, this guy's talking about less government than me, but they have nowhere to go, so they automatically default to dropping the liberal or cuck, snowflake. So anyway,
name calling. That's pretty simplistic.
Yeah. But they also assume that everybody that's not a bootlicker like them is a liberal.
I think you just basically showed them too much consistency, and that kind of like hinted at perhaps their hypocrisy.
They short-circuited, did the warm reboot, and went back to their default setting and said, liberal, liberal.
Has this ever happened to you, Cal?
Great again.
I was just saying, has this ever happened to you, Cal? What Lou described?
Not so much anymore. I mean, not on my Facebook wall. Maybe in the first year, too, 2012, 2013, when the first, I guess, like, ANCAP pages were coming out and the Maymays were being released. It was hard back then to find good Maymays. You actually had to make them. Now they're so much in abundance. Now I don't really get much of negative responses, much. Even when I go out and do, like, Man in the Street videos.
See, some people would say you're not doing it right, Cal.
Yeah,
you're not getting negative responses enough. You're not getting banned enough. You're not getting permazocked. You know, I mean, you need to be pushing the edge. Life is just like jumping off the cliff with a squirrel suit. You know, where you just, one parachute. That's it. Well, you know, I guess I'm playing it safe like you, Cal. I'm also not. I'm doing the same exact thing when I was pretending as if I'm a bit more adventurous like Lou, but I'm not. I just called you adventurous, Lou.
Well, I wouldn't call it adventurous. I'd just say that I engage where I should probably keep my mouth shut a little bit more for my own happiness. So I guess I'm trying to share the message of liberty with people, and they're like, no, I want my authoritarianism. I want to be bossed around and told what to do. I do not own myself. But anyway, I will continue to drop memes because memes are the digital bumper stickers going up and down the information superhighway. And we will be right back as we go refuel at this pit stop.
Hour 2 of Freedom Fiends coming up.
Woof.
I just love this guitar lick.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
This is of Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And I'm Lou, and I'm joined by Daryl from Hawaii and Cal from Virginia. So welcome to second hour, boys, and to all our new listeners that are just checking in across the country somewhere, because some of the stations only carry the show for the second hour, so you will need to go to freedomfiends.com to hear what you missed out in the first hour. So what's going on, boys?
Well, apparently someone who was in prison a long time and never killed anyone just died. Is that true?
Just Sweet Charlie.
Did you have something on this one, Cal? You researched Charles Manson for some reason?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about, technically, he didn't kill anybody. So technically, he is not a murderer. Right, so that's a discussion that's been going on and about. But you know, posit that, you know, and the means of using other people as the ends to the means to an end. He is party to the conspiracy of the crime, so he would be just as guilty.
So instead of being a cop, he's more like the politician.
Right. So he's a party to the conspiracy to commit a crime. And that's what would make him guilty. And yeah, like the politician or like Hitler or people who vote, right? You know, they use politicians who then use cops as a means to the end.
I think the court of the public opinion is, what can I say, very clear on Charles Manson, right? I mean, I grew up thinking he was the murderer. Didn't you guys?
No.
Yeah, I grew up thinking that, and it was more, you know, it was much, much later on where I start to realize, hey, Charles Manson, Laurel Canyon, and the weird things going on there, all the musicians and everyone like that, and the deaths that seem to happen all around Laurel Canyon, and, you know, these, I don't know, the 28 Club with all these various musicians who all seem to die at these very young ages and suspicious kind of situations, and there's Charles Manson in the midst of all of that. Everything like that kind of makes a perfect patsy for whatever, I don't know, type of operation was going on there. That's just my opinion.
I think that was heavy drug use.
Just
so everyone, I think that's everyone. The operation.
Yeah, it was just operation heavy drug use. Perhaps there may have been some interesting and suspicious death things going on over and over and over again there. But and you could look this up in the book by Dave McGowan, Weird Scenes in the Canyon, but that's just my opinion.
The thing is, you know, there's no evidence, of course, that Manson did give the order, right? The only people they have is hearsay, right, from Tex and the girls that did do the killing, right? They said that Manson ordered them to do so.
I think they have a receipt where he signed an invoice for 6 murders. No, I don't think they have that.
Right. Yeah.
There's no such thing.
So the entire conviction, right, of Manson was just based of testimony of the people, of the murderers themselves, right? Who, of course, would be looking to not be responsible for killing people and push the blame on someone else, right? You know, so you can't really say that those kinds of testimony would be kind of trustworthy when they're the murderers that did the killing. And then so, of course, there's also Nixon, you know, in the 8-month trial, about a month into it, declared him guilty. So that doesn't help with the media sensationalizing it and putting him up as a crazy murderer, you know. So, you know, what do you think the jury's gonna do? Right. Kind of like natural born killers, kind of sensationalization.
Kind of like that.
Yeah. So I don't think he had a fair trial at all when everyone thinks that you're the killer and you're the murderer who did all this, but you know, there's no evidence. And the only thing you have is, are the people that actually did the killing blaming Manson, right?
But Cal, I just want to feel certain that the whole thing is all wrapped up cleanly, you know, that I just want to believe that the government got it right.
Well, you also have to remember that there's a lot of people out there that as soon as somebody is arrested and even charging them may be a bit of a formality, but there's a lot of people out there that, as far as they're concerned, so as soon as somebody's arrested and listed as a suspect, they're guilty because the police won't just waste their time going around arresting people that don't need to be arrested.
Right.
So there is that.
And when you show up in court for your hearing, you're dressed in your prison garbs, and that doesn't help at all in your case, right, for presentation. You already look guilty. You already look like you belong in prison.
You wouldn't have an orange jumpsuit on if you were innocent, right?
Right.
And it does help if you happen to be, I don't know, extra drugged out to the point where you literally have gone cross-eyed and drooly and then somehow get tattooed a swastika between your eyes. Then it really kind of, you know, reduces credibility. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just really reduces down the ability to people to believe your story.
He's a classic tale of bad parenting, right? Mother tried to sell him off for drugs or something like that when he was a kid. You know, so you can't really say like, oh, you know, where did things go wrong? You know, same thing with that other, the real murderer, the guy who would eat people. What was his name again?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer, right? Jeffrey Dahmer's cookbook.
He eats sloppy joes because a sandwich is just a sandwich, but a manwich is a meal.
Yeah. So a lot of people are saying,
his,
like, you know,
his bologna really did have a first name.
That's classic Lou.
Bad.
But you know, people will say with that guy, it's like, well, you know, look at his background. His parents were loving. You know, they had him on interviews and looked like great people. But you know, back then they didn't really particularly look at, like, you know, spanking as being abuse, right? So they said, like, oh, look, he's clean. You know, he had great parents. But then you look at the reports, and so yeah, you know, we really just, you know, hit him, you know, a couple, you know, a lot, but you know, that's just spanking, right? So there's a lot of ties to that kind of child abuse, and I guess the common denominator with a lot of these things. But yeah, Charlie Manson, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's just the quintessential bad guy that government needed to pin things on, and the media kind of just took over, and it's already kind of too late. Too late to take that.
There was a series on NBC, and I think it only lasted two seasons. It was called Aquarius, and it had David Duchovny from The X-Files. Do you guys remember it? Did you see it?
I didn't see Aquarius with David Duchovny. No.
Yeah. So anyway, it wasn't a great series, but it was kind of interesting. And what it did was it showed some of the stuff from the Summer of Love. And so you had a character that was with the Black Panthers, and he was a guy who just basically bounced from one militant group to another looking for a home. So I think he started out with the Black Panthers, and then he wound up in the Nation of Islam, but he was a young black agitator, so he was angry and looking for a group to fit into. Then another one of the, well, of course, they had Charlie Manson and Tex and the girls and everything else. Then they also had some, one of the girls, her father was a Republican operative, so a political fixer, and you know, real big in the party. Well, both her parents were kind of big in the party, but the mom was, you know, she was, her role was being the wife. And it showed, you know, a lot of the drug abuse and going around and squatting out at these different locations. And then also, like you had mentioned, getting together with some of the musicians, I think Brian Wilson, maybe.
So Brian Wilson, yeah, Dennis Wilson. Yeah. You know,
yeah, so I can't remember which Wilson it showed. Yeah, but anyway, it showed that. And then, of course, you got the cops that are investigating the different murders. And all the stuff is leading up to the murder of Sharon Tate and the others. Yep. And it, in the second season, I believe it was in the second season, they started showing like little glimpses of showing up to the house, you know, the cop showing up to the house. You know, they show a scene here, a scene there. And I don't think the series came back. I think it just only lasted two seasons and was done after that. So I didn't get into the investigation of it or really focus on it. It was more of a side story, but it was pretty interesting. And of course, Charlie was a gay lover of the Republican operative.
Really?
Yeah. At least in the story here.
In the story, okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that guy, it was kind of funny. He wound up kind of a doper and hanging out with his daughter out at the ranch, you know, the early version of the Neverland Ranch. And it was just like, my God, this is kind of crazy.
The kind of twisted, I don't know, Bilderberger-esque kind of, well, not really like Eyes Wide Shut, but more 60s. Twisted version.
It's probably more Bohemian Grove than Bilderberger.
More Bohemian Grove, yeah.
it was a cross between the two, I think. So
we just need a nice big burning owl, you know? Just that's just so cozy.
I think somebody had a bong in the shape of an owl. But that's as close as they could get. But anyway. But I thought it was kind of interesting because it did follow the summer of love and all the stuff that went along with that, you know, the drugs and partying and you know, all that fun stuff, murder.
I think the whole thing was a psyop, allegedly. So, I mean, I heard the entire thing.
The entire summer of love?
Yep. Okay. I think it's brilliant. It was really brilliantly done. I can explain later or just leave it there. It's like my opinion. Really brilliant programming of people to be a fake and easily collected hangout of, I don't know, anti-establishment.
Perhaps we will explore this.
Perhaps.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Fiends return. We had an off-the-record discussion about an off-the-record topic. And yet it's the discretion of all of us, that's you over there, Lou, you over there, Cal, to figure out what we're going to say this time. What do you think?
I don't think that we need to talk about it on the air because, you know, that's kind of a touchy subject. But we can release it as a Patreon-only bonus episode.
Yeah, and if you too want to be a caller to the show, you can go ahead and in no way be able to connect because you know, this is not a caller accepting kind of show.
What do you guys think of the host can't even connect half the time.
Sometimes we too often we drone ourselves. The self droning thing gets in the way.
My computer decided that this would be a very good time to install a new update.
Oh.
And take its sweet time to do it before the show. I'm usually on Wednesday night, so I don't have to deal with this very often on a Wednesday night. But tonight I had the screen was showing the spinning wheel of death or the spinning wheel of going nowhere.
Yep.
I think is the proper terminology for it. And I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. It was probably going for a good 15, 20 minutes of looking at the spinning wheel of going nowhere and the screen reading, your computer will restart sooner. It says, do not turn off your computer. So after like 15 minutes of waiting, I turned it off because, you know, don't tell me what to do. And it started working. So I don't know. I'm kind of expecting it to grow arms out of the side and attack me as I have my back at some point. But so far, so good. So anyway, that was my adventures with technology today.
And that was exactly why I was over here, just being like, okay, I guess I have the show to myself. And Lou's just was permanently droned, and Cal was droned, and there's going to be just me for each of the segments. So, and luckily, you defeated the spinning wheel of death, you know, and you didn't even need to reach into your bug out bag, you know.
The spinning wheel of going nowhere, yeah, or death, yeah. Either one will work. But anyway,
it's really, yeah, it's actually on Windows devices, because for Fiend Phone, for those of you listening, we're using Fiend Phone, a beta version internet talking device, and it requires Windows. And that means sometimes Windows, when it's doing a weird update thing, if you're not tech savvy and you haven't disabled all these nasty malware aspects of Windows, then it auto updates and that just shuts everything down. And what if you're just, say, a radio host? I don't know. Cal, you ever have computer problems like this? Or?
No, because I have a Mac. But I did hear a lot of people having a lot of issues recently with the computer, or like this device, or an app, the makeup removal app.
That problem. Yeah, right. That's like emotional problems with that app.
yeah. it was revealed Hillary is indeed a lizard underneath all that makeup. So I think that's pretty cool. Right. She's not going to be happy about that one. Have you guys tried it?
Have you seen it? It's called the Make App.
Yeah, Makeup Removal App.
You heard of this one, Lou?
Nope.
I'm going to send you a link, but Cal, can you describe it?
So as the name implies, I guess it photoshops or removes layers of like highlighted areas on your face that look like makeup. And reveals that the person is indeed a lizard, like Hillary Clinton, so you can do one on her. Or other people, they look like men sometimes. But, you know, so there's a lot of people saying that, you know, this app is misogynist. This app is an affront to all women. And so you have a lot of your male feminists, white knights, going out there and calling it sexist and everything. It's hilarious. There's a meltdown of a lot of people. They're very much disappointed about it.
There was some people who were so disappointed that they decided to find a photo of the inventor, or I guess the lead developer for this app, and then go ahead and use the app on him. And lo and behold, it doesn't change because the dude doesn't wear makeup, actually. So that was kind of funny. I did just email this an article describing this shenanigans to you, Lou. I don't know if did it make it through all the tubes, the inner tubes to you?
It's here.
Just in time for the break.
So in summary, it will show who's a lizard and who isn't.
Exactly.
Okay.
Allegedly.
That's news I can use.
Herbs.
We'll be back.
Like it should.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
I am hodling big time.
Freedom Fiends returns to complain about the price of Bitcoin is too darn high.
Bitcoin's dead again. Bitcoin dies again. More than Kenny from South Park.
I was just saying to Lou during the break, right before we came on, look at that. Bitcoin is right now, and I'm looking at the ticker, 81.16.
Now, is that a new all-time high?
I think it... And if it hit 82, it wouldn't surprise me. But I'd have to let's tap and look further. You know what I'm saying?
So little disclaimer then. As far as I know, as far as my experience goes, this is a new all-time high for Bitcoin.
Yeah, it is. It looks like, the new all-time high. It looks like a short bit ago, like about during this show when we were all connecting in these devices, it rose up to its super all-time high of something like $8,233 per Bitcoin. Got it.
Wow.
So, yeah, just saying, for those of us who are hodlers, and I gotta say, it makes sense to me, this is just good news. And I spent much more time looking at the price of coins like Bitcoin and Litecoin and Dash and Ethereum and Monero, etc., and a lot less time thinking about Charles Manson, you know? Or those people with their bumpers, their very anti-Trump stickers. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah.
A segue to them?
Yeah.
A ham-fisted segue?
As I mentioned before, memes are the digital bumper stickers going up and down the information superhighway. So here we have a real bumper sticker going up and down a real highway. And, yeah, this is really interesting, and I'm going to call this segment The Internet Strikes Back, because this is a situation where somebody had posted something on social media, on Facebook, and it blew up in their faces. It's not entirely unlike the USA Today, where they talked about the chainsaw bayonet attachment, and lo and behold, within hours of that video being released, you had all these different things photoshopped onto an AR-15. There was a tactical McNuke.
Yeah.
For taking out trespassers on the far end of your property. I there was just all sorts of things on there. I saw one that had I think Karl Marx, and it was an attachment to cause starvation, and I just all sorts of stuff. So the internet responded to stupidity with condescension and interesting comments. So this one here was on the Facebook page of Sheriff Troy E. Nails, I think is pronounced, or Nails. It's N-E-H-L-S. And the bumper sticker is it's a pickup truck. It's Texas, so it has to be a pickup truck. It says Feinstein Trump. It doesn't really say Feinstein, but that's the word that we use for the word that it actually says, because this is FCC-controlled radio. It says Feinstein Trump and Feinstein you for voting for him. So this picture is posted on the page, and the sheriff's message is, I have received numerous calls regarding the offensive display on this truck, as it is often seen along FM 359. I'm guessing that's a highway and not a radio station. If you know who owns this truck or is yours, I would like to discuss it with you. Our prosecutor has informed us she would accept disorderly conduct charges regarding it, but I feel we could come to an agreement regarding a modification to it. My comments. First of all, if you have to call the cops because of a word, because of a so-called naughty word, your parents failed at child rearing. I'm sorry, your parents failed. There's absolutely no reason to call the cops because of a word. And these people they've been triggered. They have been offended over a word. And
but then there's the jobs. Think of all the money that can be made by basically taking them to court, serving them papers. Someone's clerks are going to be writing things.
Can you show me on the dial where the word hurt you?
Everybody knows that. Where's our violence, though? Everybody knows that.
Yeah, and apparently, Trump-loving conservatives have embraced the notion that words are violence now. So it really exploded there. The vast majority of the comments that I saw, the comments were populating faster than my cell phone could view them. You know, And as I'm going through, it would say one new comment, two new comments. It's just going on and on and on. I couldn't even read all the comments to keep up with them. And the vast majority of them were getting on the case of the sheriff for posting this on social media. And a lot of people are like, First Amendment, free speech, and all this other nonsense. And I don't mean that free speech is nonsense, but a lot of the descriptions were on there because, of course, it was like, you know, I don't agree with what you say, but I agree with your right to say it. And, you know, just all sorts of different things. And then there were a few people that were thanking the sheriff for his service. Those were the Tory loyalists that are always always happy. And, of course, the think of the children. Think of the children. I don't want my children seeing this. Now, here's the thing that really... As I was watching this, and this kind of goes into another segment, and you were talking about nonviolent communication at the beginning of the segment, the number of people that were just going off on each other, a lot of the people that were talking about, think of the children, I don't want my children seeing this sort of thing. Well, first of all, it's a word. I think George Carlin said that there are no bad words, there's just bad intentions. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing there, but the same people that are talking about think of the children, the same people that are talking about how we as a society, and don't get me started on that one, saying we as a society need Jesus, so that we don't do stuff like this and all sort of stuff. The comment section came alive with these people telling the other people to go Feinstein themselves. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. It's like Christian conservatives for profane language would be the group if you gave it a name.
This makes sense.
And don't get me wrong. This wasn't just restricted to the, you know, what about the children people, because the whole comment section devolved into, I don't know, like a Detroit police operation push off drug bust where they're fighting with each other and many of them were on the same team. So I mean, it's just really crazy, and kind of going off topic here. I saw a post earlier today on FaceBeast, and it said that the problem with libertarians is that they have a good message but a horrible delivery, and that libertarians have a tendency to go off on people and really turn people off in the way that they deliver the message and in the way they conduct themselves. And I thought back to this post amongst many, and if you look at the comment section on a Fox News post or a MSNBC or any of the other ones, you're going to see that this problem is, one, not restricted to libertarians. It goes across the entire political spectrum. And I think it's more of a human thing than a partisan thing, although the partisanship is how they divide up into their teams of us versus them. But I think it's a human problem. I think it's also a bit of a distance and maybe anonymity problem that goes along with the internet, because I don't think that most of these people, if they sat down across from one another one-on-one for coffee in a cafe, or heck, even on the back porch, I don't think that they would talk to each other in this manner.
And yet you can see how just being person to person really works. Like, you guys heard of that black guy who made friends with all the KKK people?
Yeah.
You know, you remember the story, Cal? That guy was going over to essentially find out, what is the problem? What, do you really hate me? And can we actually get to, you know, understand each other and perhaps appreciate music? Do you play music? He basically played music with a lot of these KKK people.
Can you show me on the doll where my color touched you?
You know, there's nothing like judging based upon melanin content of skin. I got to experience that in a bigger way when I moved over here. First time I experienced some type of seeming prejudice for not looking like the people here, you know. And that could have just been my impression. But that's what I gathered.
I think that guy, like, met up with like 100 KKK members and got him out of there or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm going to be looking up that article in the off moments between segments as we come back for redemption. But
yeah, I've seen brief video on it, and I haven't looked into any really in-depth reporting on it. But I thought, hey, wow, that's pretty neat that this guy would go out there and do that. Now, the opposite of bridging the gap is with this with this particular bumper sticker thing. Well, it's not a bumper sticker; it's a window sticker. So it's in the window of the truck. I find it very interesting that the sheriff is putting in, our prosecutor has informed us that she would accept disorderly conduct charges. So he's just ready to pronounce guilty and enforce all this nonsense. And I'm sure that rather than jail time for having a naughty word on her truck, they're just fishing for revenue there.
That's the point of the whole thing.
Yeah, but incidentally, because of the Schumer storm that ensued over this particular post, it's been taken down. And by Schumer storm, I think I may be a little bit generous and kind in my assessment of it, because it was horrible. I mean, it was really a Schumer storm. But anyway,
maybe a Schumer cyclone. You know.
Yeah. So anyway, the case has progressed. The woman was arrested, and it was on a unrelated charge from something that occurred in 2015, some sort of fraud type thing. But here's what's really interesting. The responses that I've seen was that, well, we'll cover it when we get back.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing all about this, Lou. I just said that for effect.
We already knew that.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert, so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers, so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Anyway, I'll finish that after the segment here.
We're back.
Yes, we are. And we were talking about the lady down in Texas whose pickup truck has a Feinstein Trump sticker on it. And no, it's not the joint ticket of Dianne Feinstein and Trump running for presidency in 2020. Feinstein means something else here. It's another version of the F word. But anyway, so this lady had the Feinstein Trump and Feinstein you if you voted for him sticker on her truck, and she was arrested for an unrelated charge. It was a warrant related to a fraud case in like 2014. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people have come out and just hooting and hollering, she had a warrant. She had a warrant. She's the even worse person. And these people are the hardcore Trump supporters. Now, me personally, I think it's kind of crude having that sticker in the window, and I probably would not do that myself. But anyway, the Trump defenders who were offended, and they view words as violence because they refer to this as disturbing the peace and everything else, and how it could start a fight and everything. Well, as long as it started a fight, if they act like jihadists and get so offended that they want to behead somebody for drawing a cartoon of their prophet or making a bumper sticker of their holy leader. But anyway, people are they're freaking out over this whole fraud case. Well, that just explains our character. No, that's a separate, unrelated event. These are a type of people that think that OJ did his stretch in the joint for that robbery because of the murders of his ex-wife and her boyfriend. And they're like putting two and two together and getting like six. But
that's
anyway.
Hypocrisy. I think it's because these are the kind of people who essentially would be upset that they used, you know, the Feinstein word. And then in the comments, they're there saying, "You mother Feinsteiner," you know.
Yeah.
They're right there using that word that they're essentially so upset seeing. That's really hypocrisy, right?
Yeah, it is.
Or is it more complex?
No, it's very basic. They are definitely some basic bees in that group. And the hypocrisy has no limitations. Now, with this woman here, because they disagree with her politics, they're looking for reasons to pile on and to go off on her. And this this warrant-related fraud, and by the way, the warrant is not a conviction. It's a warrant. But going back to what I said earlier, there are some people that once you have an allegation, that means that they're guilty because, you know, the police don't have time to go around grabbing up random people and charging them with stuff and accusing them. No, so, you know, act like they're guilty because they probably are. But anyway, she has modified the bumper sticker after being released from the jail. And it now says, off to the right, because it still says F Trump and F you for voting for him. She has also added F Troy Nails and F you for voting for him. So she's doubled down. So let's see who can get her angry, because there's still some space left on that back window. Plus, she has the whole tailgate there.
They could get a trailer.
So I figured she's going to get a trailer. Well, she could probably get some panels, some magnets or something like that, and put that on the doors and the fenders and stuff like that. But maybe she should put this space for rent also. But anyway, so she's added to the sticker, and it no longer just says Feinstein Trump. It says Feinstein Troy Nails also. And incidentally, I can't remember if I mentioned it, but after the response, after the internet struck back, the Facebook post was taken down.
So is this the redemption here, or are we going to touch upon, you know, the nature of your assault kitchen and your hollow point bacon that you got over there? You know, Bitcoin, bug out bags, and hollow point bacon, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, that would make an entirely separate show and a reason for people to come back and listen to us again, don't you think?
Don't you think, Cal?
I think so. Stay liberated, guys.
All right, thanks for coming on tonight, guys. Thanks for having me join your little team there. And thanks to everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
And Freedom Fiends Digest for the 15-minute version of all of these shows per week. Word.